Well, praise the Lord for that message and song, if there was ever a song sang to prepare before the message. It was that song for this message tonight. Matthew chapter 26, Matthew chapter 26. Do we know exactly why we have communion? Do we know why we do it the way that we do communion? I trust that tonight, before you leave here, you will know exactly what God wants us to know about why we are to have communion. Matthew chapter 26, we're going to be reading verse 17 down to verse 30, so if you'll stand with me, we'll read it together. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And there were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And let's pray. Father, as we bow before you tonight, it is a blessing to be in church. It's a blessing to have your precious holy word that we can look to and study and know the very mind of God and know exactly what you would expect of your children and of your church. Pray tonight, God, that you would empower the teaching of thy word once again. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Coming to the end of Christ's life on this earth, he had been preparing his disciples for everything that they would be facing and preparing them to carry on what he would have established as the New Testament church. And as the disciples thought that they were preparing to celebrate the Jewish Passover, Jesus was preparing to institute a New Testament ordinance for his church that he would establish and had established. This New Testament ordinance would be based upon the Old Testament Passover. When the Old Testament Passover took place, God had very much in mind what would take place on that particular day when Jesus would go to the cross of Calvary. Chapter 26 and verse 17, this is what they were thinking they were doing when the Bible says, "Now the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, disciples came to Jesus saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare thee for thee to eat the Passover?" Can I tell you that Jesus had been observing the Old Testament Passover for 32 years because he was raised with the Jewish faith, and he was raised to observe the Passover, knowing exactly what it was. For Jesus, there was never a time when he did not know that he was God. There was never a time when he did not realize what he had come to do. And so up until this point, even for the past 3 years of his public ministry, as he was leading the disciples up to this night, he had observed the Old Testament Passover. But at this time would be different. The Old Testament Passover was found in Exodus in chapter 12. You know, most know it very well, but as they were coming out of the land of Egypt and God was delivering them, the one thing that in the last of the plagues will be the death of the firstborn. And the only thing that would keep the death of the firstborn from taking place is that they would put the blood of a spotless lamb over and down this post of the house. It says it right here in Exodus in chapter 12 and verse 17, or verse 12. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Thus the Passover. "I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." So based on this passage of scripture, we have the Old Testament Passover, and the Jews from that point forward had observed, when they were looking to live the life that God wanted them to live and remember the things that God had for them to remember, they would observe the Passover. So as they had prepared before to do this, they were now preparing. But the difference is found here in verse 18. "And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand." Well, you need to underline that, because that's the key to communion. That's the key to the New Testament church ordinance of communion. My time. Everything had been placed throughout the time, throughout the Passover from the land of Egypt till this day when Jesus would say, my time is at hand. The Jews believed that Jesus, that the Messiah would come, and that the Messiah would deliver them and to restore Israel to power and a ruling of the world. That will take place in the millennium. That's what that's all the millennial age thousand years, that's all about fulfilling that. But there was a church age that the Jews still do not acknowledge that we are living in, as they do not acknowledge Jesus as God and a living Savior. They believe he's still yet to come. But Jesus knew that he was the Messiah. He knew that he was a Savior. He knew that he had come and he had prepared the world for this, his time. This time would be acknowledging of Jesus fully fulfilling the Old Testament and the prophecies of the Passover with this New Testament ordinance, and he would become that lamb who would shed his blood for the remissions of sin. Hebrews in chapter 10. Helps us to see this in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 9. The Bible says, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first," which would have been the Old Testament covenant, which would also be the Old Testament Passover. "He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which he can never take away sins." No sacrifice could ever take away sins. The blood sacrifices of the Old Testament was symbolic of the ultimate blood sacrifice of the precious Lamb of God, Amen. Jesus Christ. "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever," hallelujah for that, yeah, "sat down on the right hand of God," as a living Savior, ever living to make intercession for us. Back in Matthew chapter 26, they thought that's what was happening. They were going to just observe the Passover, but Jesus knew this would be different. And he said, "My time is at hand." Verses 20 through 25. Leading up to the Passover, and the Lord's Supper will be used to confess sin. Leading up to the Passover, they would remember the blood, and the blood was there to be symbolic of a forgiveness and cleansing of sin. And God would see the blood, and he would acknowledge the blood. But this time it would be different. In Exodus, in chapter 12, they were to apply the blood on the doorposts of the house. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 20 down to verse 25, Jesus would purge the house and reveal Judas, dealing with the sins. He said in verse 20, "And now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. Judas being there with them. As normal, they would come together, they would have supper, they would have dinner before they would observe, or as they would observe the Passover, but this would be, again, different, because the Passover meal would be somewhat different than what they were used to. He said, "Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" Can I tell you, that's every time they would have the Passover, they would have to look into their own lives and deal with the blood and realize what Jesus' blood would allow God to overlook. Before we have Passover, before we have the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, I believe it's up to every individual to look within your own life, look within your own heart, and ask yourself, is it I? Is there sin in my life? Is there something that would hinder me from having fellowship with the Savior? Lord, is it I? Is there anything in our lives that would hinder our walk with God? The Bible says concerning the New Testament ordinance that everyone must examine themselves. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, in 1 Corinthians and later on, this is what Paul would write as under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God concerning what Jesus had established in the Lord's Supper and the communion. In verse 27, he says this, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Now, there's no doubt we find that Jesus made this an ordinance for his church, and every local New Testament church is a local New Testament body. And as we come together as a local New Testament church body and we remember the sacrifices made and we partake of the communion, before we would partake of the communion, there's a warning that we had better examine ourselves to make sure that there is no sin in my life that would hinder me from fellowshipping with God through remembering the blood and remembering the body of Christ. He would purge out his church by acknowledging Judas and telling him exactly what he needed to hear. "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me." He knew his sin, what he was already done and what he was going to do. "The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for him, for that man, if he had not been born." Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" And he said unto him, "Thou hast said." At that point, and according as we would study John's account in John 13, Judas leaves. Judas leaves, and Jesus had purged his church. Before they would take communion, the 11 that were there would be able to remember and to be drawn close to the Lord. Yeah, because they would have examined themselves. Verse 26 down to verse 30, Jesus would give instructions on this new ordinance. And as they were eating, they were still there at supper. And now Jesus, after Judas is gone, after he explained exactly what was taking place, Jesus took bread and blessed it. Break it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is precious blood that was shed. For this is my blood of the New Testament, the ordinance for his church, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin. for all who would believe and receive Jesus Christ, then his blood would wash away their sins and reconcile them to an almighty God. He would give thanks after they took of the bread, and he would give thanks after they took the juice and after they had consumed it all. This bread and this juice is symbolic of receiving Jesus into our lives, realizing what he did for us and receiving him into our own lives. He revealed something to them in the book of John in chapter 6 of this very thing, which they could not have understood it then, but looking back, they would understand it. Many believers today, they would read this and they don't understand what is being presented here, but he is presenting himself as the sacrificial lamb. When he said this in John chapter 6 and verse 50, "This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." He's talking about himself as being the bread of life. "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Not understanding. Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat this flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now, when Jesus was instituting the Lord's Supper, when he was instituting this communion, he had not gone to the cross yet. The bread was not his body. It was symbolic of the body that he would lay down for them. The juice was not his blood. It does not turn into the actual body. It does not turn into the actual blood. It is symbolic of the blood that he would shed when he went to the cross of Calvary. So today, as we take communion, we take the bread, it's symbolic of the body. And I'm thankful for the body that God had and used as an example to me to look to. And then the body that was crucified on the cross of Calvary. I'm thankful that that body was given for me. And I remember that when I take that bread. All the pain, all the suffering that he went through that for me. When I take of the juice, and this is fresh fruit of the vine, it's not fermented wine. Our Lord did not ever have fermented wine. It doesn't turn into the blood. It is symbolic of the blood. And I'm thankful when I take of that juice that that was holy, sinless, one of a kind type of blood. There's never been that kind of blood in going through the veins of any man. That was God's DNA. That was a sinless blood of the Lamb of God. And it's precious. And drink ye all of it, because it's too precious to leave any behind. Now, I'm not saying if you leave a little bit behind your cup, that's not it. It's the idea, the symbolism of understanding the precious blood that when you take of that fruit of the vine and you drink that, you think of the blood. The precious blood that was shed for us. Wow. That's what he's presenting. "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood," to the world, they think, Is that a cannibalistic religion that you have there? They don't understand, but we understand. As his church, we understand that it's symbolic of his body and it's symbolic of his blood. Yeah. Back over in the book of Matthew in chapter 26. We are to do this in remembering back and to look forward to. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, take, eat, this is my body. Took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. We look back to the greatest sacrifice ever made on Calvary's cross. And then we look forward with 100% belief that we will see him again. Now, 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, this is what Jesus presented, and later we find that after he would have done this, after he had went to the cross, after he had resurrected, we find that the Apostle Paul gives the church's instructions as to exactly what Jesus established with his disciples. Verse 23, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord. It's not of man, it's of God. Paul is writing it down for us to have as he sent it to the church at Corinth. It was to be shared with all the churches. God has preserved it for the Lighthouse Baptist Church. For I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he gave thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As often as you drink it. He doesn't tell us exactly how often to have communion. When the Bible is not specific on that, then it is left up to who he gave the commandment to. There's good churches that I know of that have this once a year. And they highlight it. Most of the time it's done outside of a Sunday. It's done on a Monday or a day that they would believe that if you go back, that that would be the day in which they would have had it then, based on the alignment of all the stars and everything else, which it's fine. There's others that have it on a monthly basis. I don't know too many of good independent fundamental churches that have that. Most that I know of, that's what we have adopted as a church from the very beginning, is at least 2 to 3 times a year. But I'm apt to call for communion at any point, understanding what communion is. It doesn't say how often as you have it. So don't think a church being wrong because they have it more often than we do or not as often as we do. That's up to that individual church and what they feel like their needs are. I think Christmas time is a great time to remember. As you remember the birth, remember why he came, the significance of his life. I think Easter, that's usually the 2 times we definitely will have it as we remember the resurrection and the sacrifices made. But anytime I feel like that the church, we need to draw closer as a church, we need to get refocused, then we'll call for communion because it's Christ that keeps us on track. It's a remembrance of our Savior, understanding he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He sacrificed for us. He is the one that's given us eternal life. And if we draw close to him, we have to draw close one to another. Yeah. As often, the purpose in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink the cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, meaning that we must make sure it's not fun and games. This is serious business here. This is what God Almighty has established. And everyone examines themselves. Now, parents, you know whether your children understand what they're doing. If they don't understand what they're doing, then they should not partake of communion. You have the authority over them and you decide. And we let you to decide. But it is serious. You will decide whether you take communion tonight. As we pass it around, we don't tell. There's a closed communion, there's an open communion, Catholicism, and then there's a closed communion. The Bible reveals that you decide. We preach what the Bible says. It is for the local New Testament church. It is for us to draw closer to one another as we draw closer to God. No one's going to tell you whether you're going to take it or not. You examine yourself and you determine. As we pass it out to you, we give you the opportunity to examine yourself and partake or not. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread, drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Yeah. That's the scriptures. That's what the Bible says concerning communion. At this time, I'd like to have everyone just to bow your head for just a minute. Going to ask the deacons to go ahead and get the communion and start bringing it in preparation. But can I ask you to do what the Bible says that all of us need to do? Examine yourself. For if you've examined yourself and you partake of the communion, it's such a powerful thing to draw you closer to the Lord. Remembering the love that God had to send his only begotten Son. Remembering the love he was willing to lay down his life. Remembering the love that allowed him to suffer the persecution of the world and to shed his blood. What a blessing. What a great help and drawing closer to God is remembering those things. Examine yourself. If you need to come to this altar at this time, we invite you to come. If you want to deal with whatever you need to deal with right where you're at, you just stay there. But examine yourself. And as we partake of the communion, as we take of the bread, remember the body. As we take of the juice, the fruit of the vine, remember the blood. And remembering that we'll have it new with him someday. Father, we bow before you now. Love you, Lord God, thanking you for loving us. Thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us. And as we prepare as a local New Testament church to remember you and the sacrifices, I pray that you'd help each and every one of us to just examine ourselves as you would have us to. And then as we partake of this communion, I pray that it would draw us closer to you. God, that you would bless it. Work in our midst tonight. For this we ask in Jesus' name.